You are listening to the teaching ministry of Bay Ridge Christian Church. The following teaching is given by one of the missionaries that our church supports. Jesus has called the church to go into all the world and proclaim the good news, and our support for missions is an important part of fulfilling the Great Commission. We hope you enjoy this teaching and are encouraged to participate in the great task of taking the gospel to all people. For more teachings and resources, or to learn more about the missions work that Bay Ridge supports, please go to bayridgechristianchurch.org.
Really glad to be here. This is a church home, a church family. Y'all have been supporting us since 1988. Some of you weren't even born back then. and we so much appreciate being linked with what was at one time Cedar Hill and now Bay Ridge. And we're so grateful. Sorry, my bride can't be here. She's going to have some surgery April the 7th. It's all good. And I wanted her to be strong and healthy and be ready for that. But she is very disappointed that she couldn't be here with y'all today. When I was putting on the microphone, I saw it didn't have that little sponge thing on it. And I remember I spoke at a place, got home, you know, I gave them the thing back. And when I got home, I found the sponge thing in my navel. And I don't know where this one ended up, but anyway. The life of a missionary. But anyway. When you all came down in 2008, you know, your pastor was a Marine. And he came down, and it was one of our wettest years. He came during rainy season, and like the Marines, they came in, and they're in the trenches in the mud where they stayed, in the church where they were. It was just, the floor was covered with mud. Getting there, I had to dig little drainage things before the group came so that the road would drain enough so they could even get to the church. I don't know if you know that, Brett. But it was nothing but mud. And it was a faith venture. You know, we started it, and it's still in progress. As we speak, you saw there the one with the tower going up, and we're working on the third floor with an awning area where we want to have conferences for pastors. All over Mexico, people want to come to the place that we're at, and that's going to be training for the Video Bible School and for pastors. But anyway, you started a great work, and it's going forward, and we are so grateful for everything. I'd like to read to you out of Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. It says, "You are the light of the world." This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, and I want you to turn to your neighbor there and tell them, "You are the light of the world." Smile at them. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. You ever see the photos of the world and the lights at night, and you come down and over the different countries, and you can imagine being a foreigner or, you know, traveling on donkey and on foot and going down winding paths. And then you come and you see this city on a hill with everything lit up with candles. But Jesus said it can't be hidden. And collectively together, we are the light of the world, and the light of your fellowship shines the world over, as we are linked together. It says, "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket." You wouldn't take your living room lamp off the coffee table and put it under the sofa, would you? It's made to be out where it is lighting. And it says, it gives light to all who are in the house. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We are called to do good works, just like Jesus went around doing good. And we are to do good works. And when the good works happen, who gets the glory? It's the Father. It's the Father. The world is to see. We're to be salt and light to the world. We are to penetrate the darkness. There is a lot of evil and darkness in the world. And we are called to penetrate and make a difference, to restore the image of God to the world as Jesus Christ is made known. Well, they didn't call me to come here and preach today. But I have another verse. This verse is my... It's probably the verse that makes the greatest impact in my heart and my psyche and in my spirit, and it really guides me. It says here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." Now, this is before the foundations of the world were laid. God had a plan for us, and we are hand-picked and molded and crafted to do His work and for good works. And God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are a people of destiny, made on for mission, made to fulfill the call that God has for us. Amen. It's not something of our imaginations. It is our destiny. But some do not reach their destiny. Some don't walk in the good works that God called them to do. See, God has places and people and things for us to do. No matter where you're at in life, no matter what the season of your life is, you have a history, and God wants to use all that you have been through, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and to be on mission to make a difference in your home, in your neighborhood, in your county, and in the world. We're to sow our lives to others. I'm just, you know, we all work differently. We all have different ways that we're wired and in tune. And some of us are dominantly left brain analytical, and others are dominantly right brain. And you know, I'm one of those right brain intuitive people. And I have dreams and I have visions, and it's about mission. It's about calling. It's about what I was called to do and what we were called to do collectively to make a difference in this world. And so, you know, I don't overanalyze things and try to strategically plan. And I'm just kind of, God, okay, I'm going to risk and I'm going to try and I'm going to step out and do something because I believe this is what You want me to do. And we see things happen. Years ago, 1993, before we were kicked out of Mexico by the authorities there, pressured by a religious organization. And I delivered a truckload of Bibles into Puerto Vallarta. I only spent one day there. And God spoke to me in a dream and said, "You will have a ministry from this place." And I never desired to go there, never forgot the dream. I was asked to go there by a board member, and I said, "No. We work around the world." At that time, we were working in 21 countries with our video Bible school. I said, "No." And the Holy Spirit said, "Wrong answer. What are you going to do? Our life is not our own. We are called to a destiny and to a mission to serve our mighty God. And we're called to let our light shine. And sometimes it doesn't make sense. But anyway, we went and we start digging, and we cashed in our life insurance policy, bought the land, and y'all came down and helped us to lay the foundation and get that thing started. And it's been quite a journey for my wife and I when you don't know where, how it's going to happen. But God is doing things. And out of that center, we feed children, body, soul, and spirit. They get a hot meal. They get a Bible lesson. They sing a praise song. They do the puzzles and all that to enforce what they learned in the Bible lesson. They get English classes when we have the people coming in to do that. And we have medical clinics and hygiene clinics, and we send rice and beans once a month home with the children. See, we're talking about, you know, people say, are these orphans? Some could be classified as orphans, but, you know, we don't have an orphanage. But society in many parts of the world is very frail. It's barely making it. They're on the edge of families disintegrating because they don't have economically what it takes. And when we send beans and rice home with the children, then that helps to assist families and keep them strong. And other things that we have going on there, this past year, over the last few years, we've been helping a church and to get their building. They've been around for 7 years. They've been meeting in the carport. That was the carport where I was speaking at. And when you saw the block walls going up, that was that church. We helped them in being able to finish off the payment of the land. We helped them all along the way, assisting them, helping to give that part where when they have been run out and couldn't go any farther, and just we were able to take them to the next level, able to pour the roof for them and help them to get the doors and the protection. And now, after 7 years, they're in their own facility. Praise God. I don't know if you remember when I'm picking up that load of gravel, putting it on my shoulder. I pulled up to their home and you saw the black plastic there. They've been living in this family that has been with us for many years, from the time the one little boy was born. And the other boy was just a couple years old. They've been living in a black plastic tent. Now, in the winter, they're freezing. The north winds come down, and, you know, it can get a chilly 40 degrees at night, which is really cold for us when you live in the tropics, and your blood is thin. And during the summertime, they're smoldering. The rains come in and flooding from behind and flood out the little, the few things they have. All their bedding and everything is wet. And then as the heat is pouring down that plastic, they're smothering inside. And one day I went by and I said, the Holy Spirit just laid on my heart, no one should have to live like this. And by faith, we stepped out and supporters made it possible. And they did most of the physical work. And today they have a block room. And it's more than just a room. It's their bedroom, their kitchen. And they have a place. They built some walls, exterior walls, and for the garden area and everything, and they're no longer flooded out, and they have the beginning of a home. And see, we're called. We're called to make a difference. We bring the good news of salvation and redemption, and it changes society. It makes a practical difference in the lives of people. I want to tell you one story. The same little boy, one day, he was going around with me, and we go to the different suppliers and making purchases and different things. And, you know, I ask for discounts, I ask for donations, and he's just giving his testimony and talking about the difference God has made in his life. He's quoting scripture to these merchants and just tearing their hearts. And he said to me, Emiliano, he said to me, something told me if I look under my seat, I would find some money. He said, here. And he opened up his hand and gave me 8 pesos that he found under my seat. He said, I'm hungry. I have nothing to eat this morning. But God doesn't want me to steal. Now, only God can put in the heart and the conscience of a child when everyone around them is stealing and lying and living a deceitful life. But the Holy Spirit is forming a people for himself in the midst of corruption and darkness. Amen? I want to share with you a little bit about Vida International. We call the community centers in Mexico, our community center, we call it Vida International, Centro Comunitario Vida Internacional. And that means Life International. And that's the name we're known by in the work that we do in Latin America. Years ago in Mexico, and as we were going from ranch to ranch and showing videos and doing evangelism and getting great responses, God laid on my heart to help Latins to teach the scriptures on video and take these videos and help churches be able to train their people. A pastor took me to his building and told me, he said, you know, the missionaries come, they build the buildings, but they're not preparing us. They fill the place, the missionary leaves, and we don't have the training. He said, and the ministry falls apart. And God laid on my heart that it was today is the day to help the Latins to be trained so that they can carry out their great commission. And there is a great fire in Latin America and in the hearts of the people. And so our video Bible school has gone out now to where we personally carried it to 22 countries, helping churches to have their own Bible training center. But on iTunes, we've stripped out the audio from the video and cleaned it up. And we get approximately 1,600 hits a month. And our largest listener is USA, Germany, China, Japan. You know, I went in 2006 to minister in Brussels, Belgium. 5 Spanish-speaking churches. The Latins are all over the world looking for work. And we have people in Japan that want to use our materials to train people. But it's in Mexico, Dominican Republic, Brazil, France, Ecuador, Guatemala, Israel, Netherlands, Colombia, Sweden, Costa Rica, Chile, Argentina, and the Russian Federation. But anyway, we are continuing to develop new courses. We're getting ready to do a fresh new approach on television. people will put it on for free for us. In Texas alone, 50% of the children in Texas in public schools speak Spanish because they're Hispanics. And so we have four channels that put on our materials, and they're getting ready to do a relaunch as we're producing new materials. We've had a little break from that. But from the border of Mexico and Texas up to the Houston area to Beaumont, so we're covering the path going from the south to the east, and then out in Odessa and Midland. We have a new station opening up there. So we're getting major coverage in Texas. And as it goes out on the airwaves, on the low-powered stations, it goes out on the internet and in different venues. And I'm looking forward over the next few years as we are working together with the TV station to have a representative to go out to the churches representing them and representing the Video Institute to enroll churches and students in local churches throughout Texas. And so it just goes on. I want to share a little bit in the remaining time about the Dominican Republic. Once again, God, He kind of leads and guides. I have four grandchildren. I have a little miracle baby. She's a Mexican. And my son and his wife for 9 years couldn't have children. And God provided a miracle baby. And her name is Lizette Jolie. And she's beautiful. Black eyes, black hair, China porcelain skin. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful little girl. And I have two granddaughters that are of Puerto Rican descent. And I have one barón, one male, and he's Dominican from the Dominican Republic. And he calls me all the time. He's just 2 years old. Granddad, I love you. Granddad, I miss you. And we Skype together, and he'll be wearing his sunglasses, and I'll put my sunglasses on, and you know, he's up there talking to me, and I'm talking to him, and he's just chattering. I don't understand most of what he says, but he's talking to his granddad. And anyway, years ago, I was in Guatemala working for 2 months with the Video Bible School, taking it to the Indians there, and helping them to have their own Bible school. And I had a dream during that time. And I dreamed I was on a Caribbean island, and I was working with these people of African descent that spoke Spanish. And I went up to these fishermen. And when I woke up, I started doing the analytical thing. Where was this? And I knew it wasn't Cuba. I've worked from one end of Cuba to the other. I knew it wasn't Belize because that has a British heritage. And so I knew that it was the Dominican Republic. But I did not, you know, I thought, well, maybe I should make some contacts. Maybe I should do something. But I did nothing. But now I have a grandson from that country. And when I went into his village, I have family members in that village of 7,500 people. We have no banks. We have no supermarkets. We're right on the border of Haiti, a half hour from Haiti. And I have, we're related to, through my grandson, to the village where my son-in-law was born. And in a village like that of 7,500, you look at the genealogy, everybody's related somehow. And so they're all my family. And I had family members for a year ask me if I would help with a certain ministry and provide chairs. And I said, I'm really sorry. I'm not able to do that. I went speaking in a church in Delaware, and a contractor came up to me after the service. And he said, God spoke to me to build you a building. And I thought, oh, instantly, the Dominican Republic. And so I went over to his shop and talked to him, and he explained to me what was in his heart to do. And it was a 20 by 30 metal building and no windows and all that. And I said, well, thank you so much. I said, that's wonderful. I said, but what's on my heart is to feed 300 hungry Haitian and Dominican children. We've already identified them. They are very, very poor. I said, in order to do that, I need a 40 by 60 foot pavilion. And I said, I appreciate what you're offering, but could you go back, since God spoke to you, could you go back and talk to him again? They came down and built a 40 by 60 pavilion. Now, we built a kitchen in the front, 16 foot wide with, you know, bathrooms and a little storage room, by 40 foot long, a 12 foot passageway. And then they wanted a 30 foot, stage area, by 40. So we have 120 feet of construction going on down there. And if you'll visit our table in the back, where you can sign up for our newsletter if you're not getting that, find us on Facebook, Lee and Carol, on Facebook. But anyway, you can see all this going on. And we're $30,000 from putting on the roof over the stage area and the porte-a-porte between the kitchen and the building, and finishing out with septic and doors and windows and chairs and tables and all that. That's our current need at this time. But I want to tell you something. When I went into that village, I saw the fishermen. There's a big lake there, and they're cleaning their nets. And see, God just keeps unfolding these things. I go to the Dominican Republic. The church said, you need land, and then we'll work with you. I was in the country 4 days, met the governor, met congressman, senator, five city councilmen, two municipal presidents. And next thing I know, they give us the town center. We're on Main Street and the name of the province. We are, if you look at a map, we are the exact center of the town, of where it's growing. And God is giving us such favor. The caliber of people that we are working with are really intelligent, bright. They're movers and shakers. They are social activists. They're, if you're not in government, there is no industry. And the people have no jobs, no resources. And I call, if you go to our Facebook and you see Pedro Alberto, we call him Henry. And he's a family member. He's the director of all this. When I go to the Dominican, people come to my hotel room, and it's not much of a hotel room. But anyway, I have pastors coming from 7 hours away from the capital, 12 hours away. People just keep coming. And the whole country is open to us to do as God desires. We could easily plant if we had the resources, and most of the land would be donated to us from all around the country. If we had the resources, we could plant at least a church a year. And so it's really exciting. It's really exciting to realize that through all the stuff, you know, life is not neat and clean. Life is messy. It's difficult. It's stressful. But God's got a plan through it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly. God is working. And what many times looks like a difficult situation that could destroy your life. Now, I'm talking about, I'm not giving you details. I'm just talking about what we struggle with. But that is our greatest opportunity of redemption and restoration to fulfill the mission to which God has called us. But it takes courage. for us to rise up and face our fears and face the difficulty and lay our lives down, just as our Lord laid down His life. Forget dreams of having a rich and successful and glorious life, and change that to have a heart to do what God planned for you to do with your life that will bring Him glory, that will bring Him honor, and that will advance His rule and reign in this world through your life to your generation. And if we live like that together, look out. You won't be able to predict it. You'll not be able to map it out. But God will be at work in you and me together, and individually and in all kinds of ways, to bring glory and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.
What we are going to do is we are going to take up a love offering. If I can have the ushers get ready, this is a chance for us. As I said, one of the great things about living today, if you've been around me very long, you know I'm glad to live in the day and time in which we live. We can support work going on in the Dominican Republic. You know, hundreds of years ago, Lee would have gone off and been there, and that would have been it. We wouldn't have seen him again because you can't travel easily like we can. We can hear, we can see, we can be part of what's gone on. For the people here who were down there on the mission trip a few years ago, it's pretty amazing to look at the building. And we remember when I was waist deep in muck and mud, and we're just trying to get footers planted on the thing. To see it going to a third story right now is an amazing thing. That's the glory and beauty of living in the day in which we do. You and I can be involved in what's going on. And so both with what's happening there in Mezcales, Mexico, with the community center, Lee and I were talking about this the other day. This is the effect of the gospel. They've done studies. One just got released recently in Africa, where a guy for his doctoral work said, why are some countries more economically prosperous? There is greater levels of freedom. They are working more towards democracy. The whole country is different. And the country right next door, with the same climate, everything the same, is struggling in poverty and crime and no freedom. And the best they can come up with is if you had evangelical, Bible-believing missionaries show up in your country and preach the gospel, your whole culture got transformed. Because the missionaries said, we got to feed these people. We got to get them so that they can read. We got to work. There's corruption going on, and we got to stop that because we want the gospel to flourish and we want these people to flourish. And the countries who had that 100 years ago, 150 years ago, are in a vastly different place than where missionaries came in and said, our whole goal is to do, social ministry, but we're not really worried about the gospel. The strange result is, in the end, you're better off socially if they came in predominantly worried about the gospel, but saying it's got implications. Like Lee said, did you hear what he said? We have good news, and that good news changes everything around us. And that's the part that we get to be involved in. In Mezcales, we get to be involved in training of leaders. So, so important. We have no idea when somebody like Lee can be kicked out of a country. That has happened to missionaries time and time again. We have to make sure that the local church can carry the burden, that they are prepared to lead. And then thirdly, what's going on down in the Dominican Republic. So all of those things are giving us an opportunity to be involved. So if I can have the ushers come forward, we're going to take up an offering. Everything that comes in right now will go to Lee and the ministry down there. He can pick where it'll be involved and go. But all of it will go to that. If you forgot to bring a checkbook or want to just write an IOU, we trust you. You can just write your name on a piece of paper and the amount of money you want to go, and we will give it to bless Lee and Carol. And then in a moment, we're going to have Lee sit down and have a chance for us to come around and pray for him. So let's pray. Father, we are grateful again, Lord, that you are a missionary God. Father, we are grateful you did not leave us where we were, but Jesus, you came. You were incarnated among us. Lord, you were down in the muck, and it was more than waist deep. Lord, you were here, and there was no depth to which you would not descend, Jesus, to bring redemption for us. And we are so grateful for that. And Jesus, we are grateful that when you redeem us, you do not just leave us to have our little life, to go on our little way, but you call us to mission with you. Father, what a glorious thing it is that we were made for more than just ordinary life, that we are called to know you and to make you known. Father, we pray as we give this morning, you would take it and that you would multiply it and that you would use it in Mezcales in the Puerto Vallarta area. Father, that you would use it in the Dominican Republic. And Father, that you would use it with Vita, Father, going out on TV stations and out on DVDs and other ways, Lord God, to train leaders, that Father, your gospel would prosper. And that Father, through that, Lord God, you would bring prosperity to people who are just in abject poverty. Father, their lives would be changed and it would be a testimony to your gospel. Lord, we ask you to do this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Bay Ridge Christian Church. To learn more about our church or to download more teachings and resources, please visit bayridgechristianchurch.org.